1 Corinthians chapter 12 is our text this morning. Looking at the subject, our third week of our Multiply, Making Disciples, Following Jesus by Making Disciples series with our theme this year. Looking at the subject, Fueling the Mission. The proper context for every disciple maker is in the local church. And we began to talk about this last Sunday. It is impossible to make disciples apart from being plugged into a local New Testament church. You say, why is that? Because that is the plan that God chose to get the gospel message out to a lost world, a dying world. And folks, you don't even have to watch the news. You don't have to be tuned in to every little thing to know that we are living in a time where it's a desperate, desperate time in our nation, in our world, as people are so lost. And you see the craziness of our culture, and you say, how could people possibly do such and such? Folks, it's because there's a depraved mind, there's a sinful body that's choosing to do it their own way without God, without His strength, without His power. Folks, you cannot serve God apart from a local church. You've got to be plugged in. You say, Pastor Al, what about these people in other countries that don't have the same privileges? Folks, they have underground churches. They have house churches. They have every opportunity, Lord, to seek God. But we need others. We need people around us to encourage us and to be able to use our gifts for the glory of God. We can't claim to follow Jesus and yet neglect the church that Jesus Christ not only loved and created, but He died for it. You can't neglect that part. He gave us the mission to go make disciples. And that mission is for all of God's church. It's all of our responsibility. If you are a child of God, you have a responsibility to go and make disciples. The local church is God's strategy for reaching the world. Your belonging to the local church is vital to carrying out the mission that Christ left each one of us. And each one of us have gifts that are uniquely equipped us to use within the body of the local church. And so God's given us that responsibility. He's given us certain gifts. Each gift is used to encourage. It's used to build up. It's used to equip the body of Christ. And God has commanded us to go make disciples. And this morning, we're going to look at how do we fuel that mission? How do you and I get plugged in to the mission of God and allow the mission of God to make disciples to move forward? And we're going to look at this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. It says, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Though I cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, He says, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, He says, we would bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray this morning that for the next few moments, you would just, your Holy Spirit would arrest our attention. Lord, that we would focus solely on your word this morning and allow your Holy Spirit to transform us. Lord, just allow all of the distractions around us to cease, God, and may your Holy Spirit allow us to be part of fueling the mission of God. We'll be careful to praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How do we pull together? How does the church of Jesus Christ come together to fuel the mission that God has called us to? Do you realize it requires every single person? You may be sitting here saying, Pastor, I'm not a member of this church. It requires you. You say, Pastor, I'm not joined the church. It requires you. Pastor, I'm just visiting today for the first time. Then you came to on the right day. You came to the right place. It requires you. If the church of Jesus Christ is going to make disciples, it requires every single person doing their part in fueling the mission of God. It's imperative that we discover the gift that God has given us and we find a place within the local church to begin to utilize it for his glory in the context of the local church. It's essential to help fuel the mission that God has called the church to accomplish. You see, when we see the mission of God to make disciples, think about this. Every one of us can be used to help fuel the mission by plugging in where God has uniquely equipped us. Think about that for a moment. Some of you say, Pastor David, I am not a talented person. I could not get up here and play a guitar. I was watching you play the drums earlier, and I'm telling you, I'm super jealous. I'm not going to lie in church. I'm super jealous, but I've got some rhythm, but I don't think I could play like that. And I've seen Ray and Randy, some of them play the drums. I love watching those guys play the guitar. They make it look so easy, and it looks so fun, and yet... But folks, God has gifted certain people. This morning as I stepped into the center lobby, I looked outside this morning and it's pouring, raining, and people are pouring into the parking lot. And I watched people out there serving in the parking lot, in the parking ministry, and they had these giant umbrellas and they're out there directing traffic and helping people find the closest parking spot and help them get safely into the building. And folks, I'm sitting here thinking to myself, God has blessed us with some unbelievable servants of God. He's blessed us with people who have a heart for the mission of the church to make disciples, and they're willing to plug in at any level of which they can to help make that mission a reality. Calvary has always had a huge passion for reaching our community. We've had a huge passion internationally for planting churches. Our church has built numerous churches in Nicaragua. We've helped plant churches in India. We're helping plant a new church in India right now. Folks, our church has had a great impact internationally. But folks, we are turning up the meter, so to speak, in reaching our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God is bringing the world literally to our doorstep, and he's called us to make disciples who will go forward and make disciples. And folks, it's exciting. How many of y'all wonder how many have already had an opportunity to be a part of one of our new life groups? Just raise your hand very quickly. All across the building are people who've already had an opportunity to be a part of a new life group. Let me just say, it's part of our mission. It is our mission to make disciples. And folks, we're going to be strategic about it. Some of you say, Pastor, that's just not me. Yes, it is. Well, Pastor, I'm not a people person. Do you have a pulse? Then you're called to make disciples. Or are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Then he says you are to make disciples. And you say, Pastor, well, you know what? I'm just really busy right now. You're still called to make disciples. As you are going, you are to make disciples who make disciples. And the reality is, you know what, there may be something that's physically hindering you right this moment. In a few weeks, later down in the spring, we're going to be launching some new groups. And say, maybe you're here today, you say, Pastor, I can't do it today. Well, in a few weeks, we're going to have a new opportunity. There'll be more groups launching. Later on in the fall, we'll have more groups that'll be launching. And we want you to get involved. Why? Because it's essential if we're going to reach the mission that God has called us to, Christ has called us to. Every single one of us must plug in and get involved in the process. The greatest work of God today is through the local church as it functions fully, and think about this, folks, to impact a lost culture with the gospel of Jesus Christ. People say, I want to be in a place where God is working. You've arrived, folks. And you're in a place this morning who sees clearly a mission that God has called us to grow as followers of Jesus Christ. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not ready to lead a group. You being a part of a group is helping make disciples. Because as you show up with your life group and you've been reading in the Word of God during the course of the week, you've been memorizing a verse of Scripture, you're helping encourage someone else in the process and to know that I can't do this by myself. I need someone else to encourage me, to come alongside of me and say, Pastor, I can't memorize a verse of Scripture. That's what some of the guys in my group have been saying. But you know what? Tonight, we're going to sit around a table and we're going to all quote our memory verses that we've learned. Because why? Because we've been encouraging one another all week long and saying, you know what? You can do this. Keep working on it. We're praying for you. And folks, there's nothing like having the encouragement of other brothers and sisters in Christ to come alongside and say, you know what? I believe in you. And better than that, God believes in you. And we had a young man in our group this week had an interview for a new position at his work. And he asked our group to pray. And every single one of those men were encouraging him and challenging him and helping him along the way. And he said, I've never felt such encouragement in my life from other brothers in Christ who could come alongside. That's what it's all about. That's what we're supposed to be doing, encouraging and making disciples. And so that the greatest work of God is in the local church as it functions fully to impact a lost culture with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you aren't growing this morning, if you're not sharing, if you're not giving, if you're not serving, you're in a way you're holding back the growth and potential of the local New Testament church. You say, well, Pastor, that's pretty strong language. That's what God's Word is telling us today. Every one of us have a direct responsibility to make disciples in this world. So how do we fill the mission? Paul writes here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he's writing to a New Testament church. He's writing to the church at Corinth, which was not known as the pillar of the assembly, so to speak. They weren't known as being the stalwarts of Christian growth. They were actually kind of a carnal bunch of people. But Paul is writing to him here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, I want to encourage you. He says, recognize that we are many, but yet one. He says, we are very diverse. We have people from all walks of life that make up the body of Christ. He said, yet we are one in Christ Jesus. So you might look around the room this morning and say, man, I'm the only one like me or no one else is going through the... Yeah, they are. There are people all over the building this morning who got up this morning and they wondered how in the world they're going to make it through another week. There are people that are struggling this morning with finances, with relationships, with raising their children, with job problems at their job. They're wondering how they're going to make their next mortgage payment. And folks, the reality is this morning, every single one of us are struggling in areas of our lives. But folks, it's because of the grace of God that we're at in our lives this morning. You're not an accident. You are not here by mistake or coincidence. God placed you here as part of the body of Christ to be a vital role in making disciples of Jesus Christ. So he says, we must recognize that we're many, but yet we're one. It's easy sometimes to think that you're either not important to the overall mission of the church or that somehow you don't matter. You're not the most important. Or sometimes people get and they get the idea, hey, the church couldn't function without me. I am the pillar of the assembly. I'm the one who is causing this place to rock and roll, so to speak. I'm the one without me, the church couldn't function. You know what I found out and discovered? The church goes on even when I'm not here. I've been over in India for up to 21 days at a time. And you know what? The church didn't miss not one beat.
And as a lead pastor of corporate, I'll be honest with you, sometimes that can hurt a little bit. Sometimes you can feel like, I wanted them to, you know, need me or feel like they really needed me. I heard a pastor who was, they gave him a sabbatical in the summer for 7 weeks. And he scheduled different evangelists all during the summer to preach every Sunday. And he said, about 5 weeks into his 7 week sabbatical, he said, the chairman of the deacons called me and said, Pastor Johnny, he says, we are having people saved in record numbers. He says, we've had so many people baptized while you've been gone, and they've been joining the church in record fashion. He says, if you want to take some more time off, I mean, you're welcome to, you know, extend that sabbatical a little bit longer because God is really at work. He said, it kind of hurt my feelings. He said, I kind of wanted them to feel like, man, we can't wait for our pastor to get back. And I mean, we can hardly function with. Folks, the reality is this morning, it doesn't matter what position you're in, God will use us if we will die to self and yield to His Holy Spirit. He'll use us for the glory of God. Paul is trying to educate the church on spiritual gifts. He saw that some were puffed up saying, man, I've got this gift and I've arrived. Some are having this feeling of, I don't really have a whole lot to offer the church, and I don't really know what I can actually do to help in any way in the process. And some are feeling less valuable or less essential to the mission. So in verse 1, Paul starts out, he says, concerning spiritual gifts, he says, I don't want you to be misinformed. I don't want you to be ignorant on the matter of spiritual gifts. He says, God has gifted each one of us that we might be a part of fueling the mission of the church to make disciples. You know what? This morning, the devil wants to create division in the body of Christ. He wants people to get puffed up and prideful. He wants people to think, man, I am essential. Without me, the church can't even go on another step. I'm one of the one that bankrolls the whole place, or I'm the one who does this, or I'm the one that's the best teacher, the best singer, the best musician, the king of the children's ministry. He says, without the power of the Holy Spirit of God, folks, we are all futile and completely useless without God's power. You believe that this morning? We're in desperate need of a move of the Holy Spirit of God, folks. But he says, people sometimes get puffed up. If you remember the Garden of Eden, it was pride that caused man to fall into sin. You know what? I'm not going to die. I'm going to become a god. I'm going to become like God. And so Eve and Adam grab of that fruit and the forbidden fruit, and they say, you know what? If that means I'm going to become more valuable, I'm going to go ahead and eat up and have a good time at the process. It's part of the process that Satan uses to demoralize and literally keep us from serving God to the fullest capacity. Look at the early church in Acts. The religious people of the day were often the ones who created the most trouble. They were going around with their law books saying, did you heal someone on the Sabbath? Did you walk too far on the Sabbath? Did you, what? You know what Paul is saying? Get over yourself. You are part of something much greater and larger than yourself. And he says, Paul says this, he says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Well, that's what Paul said. So then Jesus Christ says in Mark chapter 8, he says, for whoever will save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. So recognizing that we are many and yet one allows us to see there is no room for prejudiced ideas in the New Testament church. There's no room for people to say, hey, we don't need you, or you're less essential or vital to the mission of the church. No, he says, when we look around, he says, we ultimately understand this morning that every single one of us are vital for us to reach our city and world with the gospel. Verse 13 says, for in one spirit we're all baptized in one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. What spirit is that? the saving power of the Holy Spirit of God, folks. It wasn't talking about physical water baptism. He says being baptized into the Spirit means the Holy Spirit of God has transformed a sinful, wicked soul and given us a new purpose, a new direction, new life as he's breathed into our life the breath of God's power. So verse 13 says, as we come together, we're the same. The saving power of the Holy Spirit radically transforms our lives and changes us from within. The process of being saved and filled with the Spirit, it goes on to remind us that every single one of us are equal at the foot of the cross. So it didn't matter what your gifting is. He says every one of us, as we stand here before God, are dead in our trespasses and sin. And he says without the saving grace of God, he says all of us are equal. So it didn't matter what you've done. He says, the beautiful thing is God is the one who radically transformed our life. So we stand before God. We're not saying, hey, pastor, oh, God, man, I've taught 1,400 Sunday school lessons in my career as a Sunday school teacher. Or I've sang, I've led worship 1,200 times. Well, go ahead and pat yourself on the back, but God's not putting tally marks and checks by your name like that, folks. What he wants is for you to be plugged in to the mission of God at making disciples within the local New Testament church. And so every one of us has to plug in at some level. We're acting and working and serving under the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. What Paul is trying to get the church at Corinth to recognize is each one of us have many gifts that he's given us to use for his glory. When we use them, it begins to fuel the mission of God to make disciples. So suddenly it's not just Pastor John and Pastor Corbin and Pastor David and Pastor Lacey who are helping lead and champion the cause of Christ of making disciples. No, it's every member of the body of Christ joining hands together and moving forward to reach our city with the gospel of Christ. He goes on, he says, by realizing each one of us are gifted by God. In verse 15 of our text, he gives us a responsibility. He says, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't need or belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong in the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? What are we, he's going to do a process of helping us recognize each part of the body is essential to move forward and fuel the mission. Sometimes people get the idea that they are less vital because their gifts are not as in the limelight as other people. Somehow, I'm not really needed, or no one's going to miss me if I'm not there. No one's going to. You are just as vital as the best children's worker we have. You're just as vital as the person who helps in the chair ministry every Sunday because it helps make it possible that others can sit here and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. The children's worker who serves faithfully and no one ever sees them back there in the nursery and they're changing diapers or feeding babies bottles or baby food, and it makes it possible for us to worship without as many distractions. Folks, the reality today is every one of us serve in a capacity or used, if we'll allow God to use us for his glory, that he might use us to fuel the mission of God. Don't ever get the idea that you aren't needed. Don't ever get the idea that you aren't essential to the mission of God. We cannot accomplish it without your help. I look around, I see there's kids. Back just a moment ago, I walked past Kid City, and there were kids everywhere in there. Right now, they're singing. They're hearing a lesson taught on their level. But folks, they're essential to reaching the mission of the church. This week, we had a funeral for Miss Patsy Williams of our church. And she passed away just shy of her 81st birthday. She is essential, was essential in helping us reach our community with the gospel. So how is that, Pastor David? You realize that lady, every time she was able, she was here. She was in Sunday school. She was encouraging other people. She was here in worship. And every summer, and I would watch her serve in Vacation Bible School. And I mean, here's a lady, and she was in her late 70s, and she was helping direct children and get them to a place that they could get under the gospel and the sound of the gospel and hear that Jesus Christ loves them. Folks, we're not too old. We're not incapable. God can use each one of us if we'll allow him to for his glory. He said, don't ever get the idea you're not needed. Paul explains the process in the early verses of chapter 12. He says, in verse 4, he says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. What's he saying? He says, there are so many ways that God equips and gifts the church of Jesus Christ. And every single one of them is a gift from God. It's part of his process. So we'll realize that God's placed us to serve in the church. All of us are necessary. But we go on and he continues on in verse 21. He says, we fuel the mission by reaching our city together as one. Verse 21 says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor the hand to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. In other words, Jesus Christ has equipped you uniquely to serve within his church to help the church reach the mission of making disciples. Some people look around and say, Pastor, how can I possibly be vital to this work? Can I say this? You have a sphere of influence like no one else in the entire building. You have a sphere of influence. God has placed people in your life, in your circle, that none of the rest of us have. Your time in the military, you've got contacts that you've... Your time over at SAS this week is an influence, an opportunity for you to influence. Your time as a teacher, your time as at Collins, you're meeting people that need Jesus Christ. Stephen, you're going to meet people this week that need Jesus Christ. Keith, you're at NC State. I know you have around people that need Jesus Christ. But it's your job to help take the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost culture, a lost city. And right beside you, Miss Christie, you're teaching young children who need to know that Jesus loves them and he died on the cross for their sin. And he's going to give you an opportunity, if you allow him to be a part of fueling the mission of God. You'll meet people that I will never meet. You'll reach people who would never, ever have a conversation with a pastor. You have family members who would never step foot in this church, but they'll talk to you in a time of trial. After the death of a loved one, said, man, life is short. You know what it is. Yeah, I know, I'm telling you, it's just tough, but I guess we're all going to die. And you just left it like that? Well, I tell you, I'm not afraid to die this morning because I know where I'm going when I die. I've got my future settled, not because of anything I've done, but Jesus Christ has died for my sin. And folks, he has radically transformed my life. And the Word of God says he sees me as righteous before God because his righteousness has been transferred to my life. My sinful nature, he says his old things are passed away and his righteousness has been applied to my life. So when I stand before God, he sees me as just as if I have never sinned. And he gave me a home in heaven. And folks, I'm not worried about it when this time comes. I don't want to die today. But folks, you know what? If the time comes, I'm ready. I'm ready to go, folks. And there isn't anything this world has to offer me that's going to want to keep me back. I love my family. I love all of you. But folks, at the end of the day, it's just a house. It's just a building. Folks, when Jesus Christ comes to take me home, I'm going to be so far better off than any of the rest of us here. When Miss Patsy, I got word that she had breathed her last breath, I thought, you know, all I could think was, she is not suffering anymore. She's not going to have another day of suffering or pain or struggling to get around, struggling to live. Folks, God has radically given her a brand new body and a new life and a new reason, a new purpose. Folks, you have influence on so many coworkers and neighbors and classmates and family members that I will never, ever meet. On the screen is a picture of Jeremy Murphy. And Jeremy was diagnosed in January of last year with stage 4 brain cancer. Jeremy, I'm not sure if it's not going to show up on the screen or not, but Jeremy ended up at 33 years old. I was meeting with him in the hospital, and they had just told him that you have stage 4 brain cancer. Jeremy looked at me, and he said, Pastor, God's got this. I'm not worried. A little while went by, and a couple months went by. We had lunch one day, and I've shared this before, but Jeremy told me, he said, Pastor, he said, I don't know what to tell you, but he said, the doctors told me I've got 6 months or less to live. And he said, so I know that my time here on this earth is short, but he said, you know what? There are some people that God has allowed my life to touch in these 33 years. They aren't church-going type. They're not the kind that are going to be sitting on the front row, raising their hands, worshiping Jesus. He said, I'm not proud of all the things I've done. He said, but my life has had a number of twists and turns. And he says, I've known people in all different walks of life. Some have been in jail. Some have been in different places. He said, but my life has, I've been fortunate and blessed to meet a lot of people in a lot of places. And he said, Pastor David, a lot of them do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And he says, can I just ask you one favor? He said, these people aren't going to come to your church any other time, but he said, when I pass away, all of them will be at my funeral. He said, I really don't care what you say about me, but he said, would you please preach the gospel of Jesus Christ at my funeral? And he said, and don't just leave it hanging. He said, give an invitation and allow people to trust Christ as their Savior. Because he said, it might be the only time they ever hear of Jesus' love. I'll be honest, Pastor Corbett, I got up, you were here, I got up, the entire room was packed with people. I saw mohawks, I saw chains and leather, and I mean all kinds of piercings and tattoos. And I mean, folks, I'll be honest with you, I got up and I thought to myself, what am I going to say that's going to make any sense of the fact that he had just turned 34, a 34-year-old young man has breathed his last breath and is now in eternity. You know what I did? I talked for just a few moments about Jeremy's life, and I began to share about Jeremy's God and how Jesus Christ died on the cross and how Jeremy had accepted Christ as his Savior, and he had radically transformed his life. And he told me, he said, Pastor David, I'm not afraid to die. Because he said, I know exactly where I'm going when I do. And he said, I have a relationship with God. And folks, I watched at his benefit, the barbecue benefit that they had. Matt, you were there. Some of us had all gone. A bunch of us went up there and bought some barbecue. And I saw people from all walks of life. I saw people that looked like attorneys. I saw the people that looked like business people and professionals. I saw people that looked like they were in a motorcycle gang. I saw people who looked like they had gone through a rough time in their life. And Chris, the one thing about it is we gathered and it was a celebration of his life. And he says, I want the band to play. And Randy, you remember all of the band got up and they led worship that day. And as I gave the invitation, 13 or 14 people prayed and received Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'll tell you, I was somewhere the other day and someone said, Pastor David, he said, I was there at that service and I will never, ever forget what God did that day. And here, we say, what's the big deal? Here's somebody who had just weeks or months to live and said, I'm going to do my part at fueling the mission of God. And folks, he told everybody he could, I'm not afraid to die. His post on Facebook changed radically when he realized he had days to live. And he began to share the good news. And folks, I believe it's because of his influence that God brought many people into the kingdom of God. And what I'm here to say is this morning is, as you look at your life, folks, every single one of us have a vital part of plugging in and fueling the mission of God. What's the point of the whole story? Jeremy realized what Paul is outlining in these verses. He says, none of you can say, I'm not important or essential. Verse 22 says, on the contrary, the part that seemed to be weaker, he says, are indispensable. The parts of the body that we think less honorable, he says, we bestowed the greatest honor. God used Jeremy. He could have easily thought, I don't have a lot to offer. I'm not even going to be here in 6 months. He could have thought, I don't have a whole lot I can offer the church, and what can I do for the cause of Christ? But I'll be honest with you. Jeremy saw his mission is, you know what? I'm going to tell as many people as I can before God takes me home of the saving faith they can have in Jesus Christ. And I love how Paul brings it all together in verse 24. He says, but God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. Why would God do that? Why would he do that? Because each part of the body is so vital to reaching our city with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody asked me last Sunday, they said, are you using me in an illustration today? I just wanted to be prepared. I'm going to use all of you this morning in illustration. Where are our deacons this morning? Would you stand up? If you're in the building, where are our deacons? Some of them may be out teaching. And where are our trustees? Stay standing. Where are our trustees this morning that serve our church body? Where are our parking crew? Where are those that serve on our parking ministry? Those who are out there today in the rain. Thank you. Stay standing. Where are those that work in our worship ministry? Whether it be audiovisual, back there in the back, the lighting, leading, playing an instrument, singing, where are those that serve in those capacities this morning? As I look around, where are those who are in our greeting ministry that serve out front in the front at the front doors as people are coming in and the welcome desk out front when people are arriving at church? Where are those people? All right, I look around this morning, where are our WANA leaders? Where are the people who serve in children's ministry and in Kids City? Where are those that serve in various capacities? Where are our life group leaders? Raise your hand and stand up this morning if you lead a life group this morning. Where are those people who serve in student ministry? The people who are serving every week in student ministry have a vital role in the body of Christ. Where are those who are involved in a life group this morning? You are plugged to your service. You're in a life group. You go attend a life group. Maybe you're involved in a Bible study on Sunday morning. Where are you at? Stand up if you're involved in one of our Sunday morning Bible studies. Those who work in the nursery faithfully each week. Those people, some of them are back there right now serving in the nursery. Where are our Bible study teachers? If you teach a Bible study class, stand up. If you are you attend regularly each week and you're a part, you're here every week serving, giving, stand up. You don't have to be a member here. If you're serving here and coming along each week, stand up. If you are a guest this morning and you are a first-time guest or you're just a guest visiting the church this morning, stand up. I want to recognize those who are here this morning. They're a guest here at Calvary. All right. Every single one of us, if you would stand up, have a part in fueling the mission. This is everybody now, so wake up, everybody around you. Punch them, say, this is you. All right. I want you to grab hands, join hands with the person beside you. Join hands, and it's okay, you can bridge across the aisle. They're not going to bite you, and there's no sharks that are going to get you in the center. All right, so go ahead and grab hands with a person and join across the building and join hands, if you would. There is a method to my madness, I promise you. All right? There is a method to what we're doing. How are we going to reach our city with the gospel of Jesus Christ? How are we going to fuel the mission of God to make disciples who make disciples? It's going to be by joining hands across the aisle. It doesn't matter if you're 8 months old or 88 years old. If you're 18 and think you have the world by the tail, or you're 38 and you're feeling like your whole body's falling apart, and you've got children and grandchildren or great-grandchildren, every single one of us are essential to the mission of God. This is the way the church fuels the mission. By joining hands and saying, you know what, that person across the aisle might be different from me. They might look a little bit different. The thing we have in common is what Jesus Christ has radically done in our lives. And folks, he's given us a mission to go forth and make disciples, and it begins right here at home. Let's give you all of you a hand this morning. You may be seated. How are we going to fuel the mission? By joining hands across the church. So what's the application? Christ left us with a mission to multiply, to follow Jesus Christ by making disciples. That mission seems daunting. It seems unachievable by ourselves. However, when the local church celebrates the diversity of which God has equipped us, and we join hands together to reach our city, folks, the mission becomes possible. Think about it this morning. You say, Pastor, I'm just visiting here. You're vital to the mission of making disciples here in our city. Let me ask you, have you gotten plugged into the local church? Are you growing as a disciple of Jesus Christ so that you can in turn make disciples? Are you growing? And lastly, are you using the gifts that God has given you to make disciples? Why not get started today? Let's fuel the mission. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that my goal in all of this is one that your word would transform our lives. God, that every single person in this building would understand before they leave this morning that they are essential, they're vital, they're important, they matter to the mission of God to make disciples. God, may you transform our hearts and lives. God, whatever pride is in the way, may we put it at the foot of the cross. Would whatever feeling of failure or unworthiness, God, I pray we'd put that at the foot of the cross and realize that I am important to God. I matter to God. I'm essential for the church to reach its mission of making disciples here in our city. I'm needed. God, I pray people would stop sitting on the sidelines and begin to engage in the process of making disciples. It takes just building a relationship with someone. Beginning to share what Jesus Christ has done in our lives. And we're joining hands with others in a church who see our mission as vital to accomplish what Christ has called us to do. Holy Spirit, transform our hearts and lives this morning. May we leave with a greater sense of purpose and reality that you want to use us in reaching our city and the world for Jesus Christ. We'll be careful to praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe, will you stand? The band's going to begin to lead worship this morning. If God is speaking to your heart, do business with them. You are vital. You are important. You matter. You are essential. If the church is going to reach our city with the gospel of Christ, let me challenge you this morning to plug in. Begin doing your part, serving, using the gifts God has given you to reach our city with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So begin to sing, do business with God right now.